produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again. It's been a while since we've had this opportunity, and I look forward to sharing with you some valuable principles that have been weighing on my mind and some experiences that I've had in recent weeks. Back in the fall, in November, of course, my wife and I celebrated our 51st wedding anniversary, and I had the opportunity on the day of our anniversary to speak at an area conference for our church. And, of course, you know, as a speaker, sometimes you're given the liberty of sharing a funny story with the audience before you begin your serious talk. And so my funny story kind of goes as follows. Previously, before the conference, I had my cardiologist had me have a test done, and here is my funny story. So recently, I had the experience of undergoing a nuclear stress test on a treadmill. There was, however, a complication. I was mistakenly injected with invisible ink and had to go to the hospital where I had to wait to be seen. Now, there's some of you who have got that right out of the gate. And interestingly enough, as I've shared that story with a few people along the way, I find that those in the medical profession seem to overanalyze, and they're trying to figure out hospital ink, what's going on here. But the key words were invisible ink, wait to be seen. So now you may have gotten it if you didn't get it earlier. So my apologies for the corny humor, but my wife encouraged me to share that at that talk on that particular Sunday on November 6th. So hopefully in our 51 years of marriage, I've learned to follow the counsel of my wife. As it turned out, that story or joke was well received by the congregation, and some of the key church leaders that spoke afterwards even referenced back to it. One actually being a medical doctor who got up and said, "Brother Floyd, I'm a doctor. You may not know this. And yes, I just now got your joke." So having started off with a little levity and referencing our anniversary and my expressing from the pulpit my love for my wife and our marriage of 51 years, I'd like to kind of jump right into a topic today. So speaking of love, the very first Bible verse that I memorized as a young person was John 3:16, which, as you know, goes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So why does Heavenly Father love us so much that he would allow his Son to suffer and endure the atoning sacrifice? Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles in the October 2009 General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints stated, quote, "Think of the purest, most all-consuming love you can imagine. Now multiply that love by an infinite amount. That is the measure of God's love for each of us. God does not look on the outward appearance." Elder Uchtdorf goes on to say, "I believe that he doesn't care one bit if we live in a castle or a cottage, if we are handsome or homely, if we are famous or forgotten. Though we are incomplete, God loves us completely. Though we are imperfect, he loves us perfectly. Though we may feel lost and without compass, God's love encompasses us completely. He loves us because he is filled with an infinite measure of holy, pure, and indescribable love. We are important to God, not because of our resume, but because we are his children. He loves every one of us, even those who are flawed, rejected, awkward, sorrowful, or broken. God's love is so great that he loves even the proud, the selfish, the arrogant, and the wicked. What this means is that regardless of our current state, there is hope for us. No matter our distress, no matter our sorrow, no matter our mistakes, our infinitely compassionate Heavenly Father desires that we draw near to him so that he can draw near to us. In the 22nd chapter of Matthew, we find that when one of the Pharisees, a lawyer, asked Jesus which of the commandments was the greatest, Jesus could have chosen any of the many commandments from the Hebrew Torah. As we know in the Christian world, in Deuteronomy 6:5 in the Old Testament, from the law of Moses or from the Ten Commandments. Instead, he summarized all of the commandments in these two: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. That's the Old Testament version. In the New Testament, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it: Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. A former president of the church, President Thomas S. Monson, taught keeping one commandment helps us keep the other, when he said, quote, "We cannot truly love God if we do not love our fellow travelers on this mortal journey. Likewise, we cannot fully love our fellow man if we do not love God, the Father of us all. We are all spirit children of our Heavenly Father, and as such, our brothers and sisters. As we keep this truth in mind, loving all of God's children will become easier." Another former president of the church, Ezra Taft Benson, in General Conference of April in 1988, stated, "The greatest test of life is obedience to God. It will prove them herewith, said the Lord, to see if they will do all things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them." The great task of life is to learn the will of the Lord and then do it. The great commandment of life is to love the Lord. It is the pure love of Christ called charity, that the Book of Mormon testifies is the greatest of all, that never faileth, that endureth forever, that all men should have, and that without which they are nothing. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is all-encompassing and all-consuming. It is no lukewarm endeavor. It is total commitment of our very being, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, to a love of the Lord. The breadth, depth, and height of his love, of this love of God, extend into every facet of one's life. Our desires, be they spiritual or temporal, should be rooted in the love of the Lord. Our thoughts and affections should be centered on the Lord. Quote, "Let all thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord," said Alma. "Yea, let the afflictions of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever." Why did God put the first commandment first? Because he knew that if we truly loved him, we would want to keep all of his other commandments. "For this is the love of God," says John, "that we keep his commandments." We must put God in the forefront of everything else in our lives. He must come first. Just as he declares in the first of his Ten Commandments, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. When we put God first, all other things fall into their proper place or drop out of our lives. Our love of the Lord will govern the claims for our affection, the demands on our time, the interests we pursue, and the order of our priorities. We should put God ahead of everyone else in our lives. So how do we fulfill the second great commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves? The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines love as unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. As we love someone else with all our hearts, we make them a priority in our lives. We give them our time, energy, talent, and resources. In John we read, "This is my commandment, that ye love another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Christ indeed showed his love for each of us by laying down his life for his friends. But he also showed his love for us by how he lived for us. He gave his time to learn each of our individual strengths and weaknesses, our successes and our sins. As a master teacher, he gave us his words and his teachings to guide us in the ways of truth and righteousness, to help guide us every day if we follow him. In his great atoning sacrifice, he willingly gave up his mortal life so that we could one day be resurrected and enjoy immortality. He also took upon himself our sins and our pains and our afflictions, with a promise that we can be clean before God on conditions of repentance. Jesus Christ died for us. He lived for us. He truly loves us. In the Book of Mormon, we read in Mosiah 2:16, King Benjamin stated, quote, "I tell you these things that ye may learn wisdom," which he defined by saying, "When ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God." Like Jesus Christ in his ministry, King Benjamin gave selfless service. King Benjamin knew by revelation and experience the great mystery that Christ would later teach during his earthly ministry. "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." So how can we go about loving our neighbor? Well, I'm reminded of what we call the golden rule, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In our modern age, in recent years, we've heard of things referred to as random acts of kindness, where as you're going about your daily affairs, you see someone with a situation and you provide them with some act or service of kindness. It may not be anything more than simply smiling at someone or saying a pleasant hello or good day. Or it may be giving them some physical assistance, maybe an elderly person crossing the street, or holding the elevator for someone, or holding a door open for someone, and doing it with a cheerful smile. There are other more specific ways in terms of random acts of kindness. We've seen the phenomenon of calling it paying it forward, where people going through a drive-through restaurant will actually pay for the meal of the people in the car behind them. And when those people arrive, they're surprised to know that someone ahead of them has paid for their meal. And in some instances, maybe that second car will do the same for the one behind them. And we read of accounts where for several carloads of people coming through, people were doing that one right after the other, paying it forward. There are so many ways that we can be of service to one another. In the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we have sponsored at no charge to the community and to our society a website platform known as Just Serve. Just Serve is a website that links organizations that have needs for volunteers to the community so that individuals that are looking for service opportunities can go online and look at the different organizations, the different projects that they have. And if they choose, they can click onto those links to offer their time to volunteer. That website, by the way, is justserve.org. All very simple. One word, justserve.org. So there's a way in which we can go outside of our little circle of contacts and serve the greater community. But we have neighbors, next door neighbors. Maybe you noticed an elderly person has difficulty getting their garbage can out and back from the street for pickups, or someone who maybe has a newspaper delivered its way out in the lawn. Several times I've found myself walking over and picking up that newspaper and gently placing it on the front porch where it would be convenient for that individual to pick it up. They probably wondered, how did that get there? One day we came home after church and we found that all the leaves in our yard had been raked up and raked out near the curb for pickup. And we wondered, so who was it that did it? So my wife cooked up a big pot of chili and we took divided it up and took one pot of chili to our neighbor to the left and took another pot of chili to our neighbor to the right. One said they had nothing to do with the leaves, and the others reluctantly admitted that they had been the ones that had done it. But in the process of doing that, we got to make friends with two neighbors that we had barely talked to just in passing. So one good turn deserves another. So in the opportunity to love our neighbor, it's a wonderful thing when we can do specific acts of service for them. Now, I won't delve into it much, but, you know, the Savior gave us another commandment, to love thy enemy. That one will be a topic that probably would require an entire program just to discuss. Even though some people have trouble loving their neighbor, imagine how much more difficult it would be to love your enemy. Many great stories and experiences that can be shared with that. So why is love the great commandment? Once again, Elder Uchtdorf stated that, quote, Heavenly Father's love for his children is the core message of the plan of happiness, which plan is made active through the atonement of Jesus Christ. The greatest expression of love the world has ever known. Let me repeat that. The plan of happiness, which plan is made active through the atonement of Jesus Christ, the greatest expression of love the world has ever known. Clearly, the Savior spoke when he said that every other commandment hangs on the principle of love. If we do not neglect the great laws, we truly learn to love our Heavenly Father and our fellow man with all our heart, soul, and mind. All else will fall into place. The divine love of God turns ordinary acts into extraordinary service. Divine love is the motive that transports simple words into sacred scripture. Divine love is the factor that transforms reluctant compliance with God's commandments into blessed dedication and consecration. Love is the guiding light that illuminates the disciples' path and fills our daily walk with life, meaning, and wonder. Love is the measure of our faith, the inspiration for our obedience, and the true of our discipleship. As I think about this topic of loving our neighbor, may we not be forgetful of the fact that families are central to God's plan. And while friendships are important, nothing compares to the joy of maintaining healthy family relationships, whether everyone is still at home or they are living across the world. So as we think about loving our neighbor, our immediate neighbor obviously is our own family members. And I'd like to share a handful of quotes here from some leaders of our church and from some other individuals. M. Russell Ballard, said, indeed, nothing is more critically connected to happiness, both our own and that of our children, than how well we love and support one another within the family. Ezra Taft Benson said, "The family is one of God's greatest fortresses against the evils of our day. Keeping your family strong and close and worthy of our Father in Heaven's blessings. As you do, you will receive faith and strength which will bless your lives forever." Robert D. Hale said, "The key to strengthening our families is having the Spirit of the Lord come into our homes. The goal of our families is to be on the straight and narrow path." This is one of my favorites from David O. McKay. He said, "Let us be more determined to make righteous homes, to be kinder husbands, more thoughtful wives, more exemplary to our children. Determined that in our homes we are going to have just a little taste of heaven here on this earth." Spencer W. Kimball said, "Family life is the best method for achieving happiness in this world, and it is a clear pattern given to us from the Lord about what is to be in the next world." Another apostle said, in a world of turmoil and uncertainty, it is more important than ever to make our families the center of our lives and the top of our priorities. Marvin J. Ashton said, "When we realize that parents and family members can be more than blood relations and are in very deed friends, then we will have a glimpse of how our Heavenly Father wants us to live, not only as brothers and sisters, but as very close friends." And here's a lovely quote from Mother Teresa. She said, "Sometimes it is harder for us to smile at those who we live with, immediate members of our families, than it is to smile at those who are not so close to us. Let us never forget, love begins at home." And lastly, here from good old Honest Abe, as we celebrate President's Day, Abraham Lincoln said, quote, "All I am or can be, I owe to my angel mother," close quote. So as we think about our families, the great commandments to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, let us be mindful that it is critically important that we love our families with that same intensity. Let us be known as a people who love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and who love our neighbor as ourselves. When we understand and practice these two great commandments in our families, in our church, in our community, in our nation, in our daily lives, we will begin to understand what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus the Christ. And of this I testify in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.